North Atlantic right whales are dying out, and at a faster rate than we thought. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, some 366 whales total remain, about 94 reproductive females, despite decades of conservation efforts. And these numbers represent an 11% drop from the previous estimate. So we wondered some things. Why is this whale so close to extinction? And what do we lose if the North Atlantic right whale goes the way of the dodo and so many other lost species? So let's ask Peter Corcoran. He is the senior scientist and the chair of marine mammal conservation of that program at the New England Aquarium. Peter, welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, thanks very much for having me, Tiziana.
So we've heard a lot about saving whales for decades now, particularly here in New England around the right whale. And at least for some years, it kind of seemed like maybe the numbers were rising. Clearly now not the case. What is going on, Peter?
Yeah, well, I mean, they were rising through to about 2010. You know, the right whales have been coming back from being hunted for centuries, and they were probably at really low numbers at the start of, you know, the 2000s, the start of 1900s. And, you know, we saw them increase. We know that from 1990 to 2010, they're increasing at a bit over 2% a year. And then 2010, 2011, they peaked, and since then they've been in decline. So they maxed out at a bit under 500, and now they're, you know, between 350 and 400.
So were we doing something right up until 2010 that we stopped doing after that?
Well, a couple of things went on. I mean, one is, obviously, if you stop whaling, that's really good for whales. And so that was a big step in the right direction. But, you know, North Atlantic right whales were never actually increasing as well as they probably could have. You know, instead of that 2% or so a year, they probably could have increased it about 4%. And they didn't, because we were still killing them. But we weren't killing them in such numbers that they were in decline. They were just sort of creeping upwards. You know, the southern right whales, their cousins from the Antarctic, increase it between 5 and 7% a year, which is appreciably better than North Atlantic rights are doing. So they could have done better. But then around 2000 or so, a few things happened. They've changed their behavior somewhat. The waters of the Gulf of Maine are warming quite fast, and that's affected where right whales can eat. And so they've moved out a bit, and they've gone to, one of the places they've gone to is the Gulf of St. Lawrence. And when they first went there, people weren't expecting them there, and that led to quite a few deaths. And then the other thing is, you know, that we've changed the way we work in the ocean. And that's made it, you know, more likely that some things endanger them more or hurt them more. And it's both a matter of them dying and them being debilitated. And that's just got worse in the past decade or so.
What does that mean, we've changed the way we work in the ocean?
Oh, things like the ropes that are used in fishing gear has got a lot stronger, you know, because we've got better quality ropes. And you know, some fishings had to move further offshore, so I had to use stronger ropes. And, you know, a big problem for right whales is getting entangled in fishing gear. And the stronger the rope is, the harder it is for the whales to deal with. And you know, that can just lead them to be, you know, crippled and die excruciatingly painful deaths.
That is really disturbing. It makes me think about the challenges that we have here in the area with the lobster industry as well. I know that, buoy lines can kill the right whale, but the lobster industry has also been hit really hard. As you said, warming waters have hit the industry. They've had to move out further. They're pushing back, of course, on limits to lines or changing how they catch lobsters. That can be expensive. How do we, can we protect the industry and the right whale? Is this a death match, or is there a way to support both?
Well, there should be a way to support both. I mean, this isn't, you know, one of these really, really difficult problems like solving climate change. You know, this is, we know enough about right whales and the problems they're facing to know what we need to do. And it's really a matter of will. It's a matter of deciding, we're going to come up with a solution. We can do this. Let's all just work together and make it happen.
Does that mean things like helping the fishing industry with financial support to change to ropeless fishing? Is it changing, you know, patterns of ships? What are those solutions?
It's exactly those sorts of things you're talking about. You know, we know that getting ships to slow down to 10 knots helps a lot. And at the moment, there's places where that's obliged to happen and places where ships are just asked to do it. We need to rethink what those areas are and how long they're in place, whether they should include vessels of less than 65 feet, which is a cutoff point at the moment. You know, a 62-foot boat can kill a whale as well. And then with fishing gear, there's a lot of work going on to try and resolve, the entanglement problem. And, we know what the solutions can be. We just have to decide that we want to implement them. And that's a social decision. You know, what are we prepared to do to help the fishing industry to change their practices?
I want to go back. So let me backtrack first. We're talking with Peter Corcoran from the New England Aquarium about the North Atlantic right whale and risks to the species. I want to go back to the numbers. 366 remaining whales, about 94 reproductive females. Is that enough for recovery? And are they healthy enough for the species to recover? And I guess the corollary there is, where's the number that is the tipping point, where if we get down to that number, the species, I don't want to sound melodramatic, but the species could be doomed.
Well, I mean, the point where the species are doomed is an awful lot less than where we are now. They've been lower than this before, and they were increasing. So we know we can do that, and we have examples of lots of baleen whale populations around the world that have come back from outrageously low numbers. Unless you're getting down to less than half a dozen females, there's always a chance, and you've got to decide that you want to take that chance. As for the rest, an issue is, there's actually fewer females than males in the species now, and we need to focus on how many females there are. And that's obviously a scarier number than how many the entire species. But, we know that marine mammals can come back from extraordinarily low numbers.
So that is encouraging. I want to come back to what is encouraging. But before we do, I want to stay in the scary space for a minute, because I do want to understand, should we lose this species, what do we lose in the ecosystem, in the environment, et cetera?
Well, there's a couple of ways of looking at that. And one is, the prosaic one of, well, what do the whales do for us? And we now know that baleen whales can be ecosystem engineers, that particularly in the Antarctic system where this is being best studied, they produce a lot of iron in systems that are iron poor. And so they can encourage the growth of plankton simply by feeding and then coming to the surface, and they always poo on the surface because that's the way whales' bodies work. And their poo has a lot of iron in it, and so they're actually encouraging the growth of the things they need to eat. So there's a level at which more whales gives you more whale food, which is counterintuitive, but it does actually work. And that's a simple answer. And then there's another one is the question of, well, what does it mean to lose a species? And particularly, what does it mean to lose such an iconic species that people have put so much time and effort into trying to save? And, saving the whales was one of the first big successes of the conservation movement generally. And what does it say about us if we're prepared to let this species blink out from problems that we know we can solve?
So what are the immediate next steps? Let's say we're not ready for all the reasons you just laid out. What can science do to strengthen the female population, help with reproduction? Let's start there briefly. And then I think, what can we do? Let's start
Well, what science has done, I mean, one of the really intriguing things that we've been able to show in the past few years is how important being entangled is, not just to killing whales, but to impacting their health and their capacity to have babies. The way baleen whales work is females have to stack on a lot of fat to then get pregnant to, you know, make the trip down to Florida, have a calf, and then swim back up not eating and having that calf suck energy out of the mother in the form of milk. And that's a big demand. And so they actually have to be healthy enough before they can even get pregnant in the first place. And we've shown recently that entanglement work, this is work led by Julie Vanderhoop, who was at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, and she showed just how important being entangled is. Just the drag from pulling gear along affects the capacity of females to be able to have calves. So we've done a lot of really cool science to show what the problem is. And we actually know this species really well. So then it becomes a matter of will to, you know, implement the changes that are going to be needed to follow through on what we know can solve these problems.
And Peter, in a sentence, we're almost out of time. In a sentence, what's one thing that people listening could do differently right now?
Oh, contact their political representatives and let them know they care about whales.
Perfect. That is Peter Corcoran, the senior scientist and chair of the Marine Mammal Conservation Program at the New England Aquarium. Peter, I appreciate you giving us the time and the information today. Thanks.
Thank you very much.